This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We always praise the Almighty who has created us, who provides for us, who is the nourisher, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the curer. We also send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every one of us, to grant us goodness, and to grant every one of us a blessed acceptance during this month of Ramadan. Say Ameen.
Ameen.
My brothers and sisters, I'm humbled by the numbers that have come here this evening, but I'm not surprised. Being the month of Ramadan, being this beautiful place, the beautiful city that it is, the lovely weather that we have, Alhamdulillah, and at the same time, the softening of the hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us purify the heart. Many of us concentrate on so many acts of worship, but we forget to concentrate on the heart, the qualities of the heart, to remove from the heart that which is evil, that which is not fit for renting a spot in the heart. You know, your heart is a small space. You have thousands of things within the heart. There is no space in your heart at times, especially for those things that are unnecessary. Just like your phone, you have a certain space, a memory in the phone, either built in or with a little chip that you add later on. That space actually sometimes is filled with unnecessary images and videos. So what happens to your phone? It becomes slow. Am I right? Yes, see, the yes was so loud, we all know. I can introduce you to the Samsung 10 Plus 1 terabyte space. It will be a little bit better for you, I think. May Allah bless you. I hope there are no iPhone warriors here who might say, look, I'm taking sides. So long as it's a good phone and you don't have that which is wasteful in your phone, you are heading in the right direction. Otherwise, every now and again, what do you have to do? I was doing it today. I actually sat with my phone and I went through certain images that were unnecessary, which means I didn't really need them. And I started deleting, and I deleted thousands. Sometimes, while deleting those thousands, a few things are gone which were very important. Then you start looking and you think to yourself, what happened? Now, if you look at this, it's a phone. But I promise you, your brain and your heart operates in a similar, yet different way. Similar from one angle, but different from others. Similar in the sense that my brothers, my sisters, when your heart is clean and it has goodness in it, your processing speed when it comes to connection with the Almighty is far stronger than when your heart is filled with that which is unnecessary, that which is immoral, that which is of low values and morals. So in order to be able to help yourself, you must constantly delete that which is unnecessary. To do that, Allah gives you a blessed month such as the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah. This month, as soon as the month is announced, we immediately begin to feel a calmness. You go to the masjid and you hear a recitation similar to that of our young hafiz this evening, the reciter Mu'adh. It's my first time, I think, that I'm meeting him. But don't you agree that recitation was out of the world? Say mashallah. It was so beautiful that if we had come here and just listened to those words of Allah and gone away, it was worth it. Subhanallah. It was worth it, I promise you. But inshallah, we wish to expand on what he said. You see, Allah has prescribed a month of Ramadan. He has written the fasting. It is written for us. He made it compulsory. It is a pillar of your faith, of Islam. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you in the same way it was upon those before you, in order that you better your relationship with the Almighty. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Taqwa is the development of your relationship with Allah. The development of your consciousness with Allah. The development of your hope in the mercy of Allah. So you build your relationship with Allah. So Ramadan is here for me to build my relationship with Allah. As soon as the month starts, what do? Amazingly, the Taraweeh comes before the fast. Do you notice that? As soon as the moon is announced, what happens? We go to the masjid. Subhanallah. It doesn't mean as soon as the moon is announced, you stop eating. But it's a month of fasting. How come it's a month of fasting, but I stand in the house of Allah? To plug in with Allah, to communicate with Allah, your prayer with Allah. And I want to tell you something. We're talking about Ramadan, the month of excellence, the month of goodness, purity, the month wherein our deeds should be the best of deeds, not necessarily a lot of deeds, but the quality is what Allah looks at more than the quantity. That is your message that you will take home tonight. The message is, Allah looks for quality more than quantity. That is the message. I tell you why. Is it compulsory to finish one hearing of the Quran or one recital of the entire Quran in Ramadan? The answer is no. It is recommended, yes. But it's not compulsory because different people have different paces. Some people cannot read. Some people cannot recite so well. Some people cannot recite the Arabic or read it yet. What do they do? Do your best. That's what Allah wants. Do your best. Allah says, I don't want quantity. I want quality. When you do something, do it well. Do it good. And make sure that you have given it your best. In a way that next year, you give it better than the previous year. But it may not be as good as other people. Don't worry. For as long as you are doing your best, you have already achieved the pleasure of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in many places in the Quran, one of them is in Surah Al-Mulk. He says,
الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا
It is He who created death and life in order to test you who from amongst you has better deeds. He never ever said who has more deeds. Remember that. So if someone says, I made 40 raka'at of taraweeh, the other one says, I made 20 of taraweeh, the other one says, I made 12, the other one says, I made 8, etc., etc. We are not in a competition, my brothers and sisters, regarding quantity. We are in a competition regarding quality. I'd rather read one page a day of the Quran in such a beautiful way that when I come on the day of judgment, I will be so happy about how I recited the word of Allah, yet I read very little, than a person who read the whole Quran, but he whipped through it in a way that he earned the curse of Allah while trying to do something he thought was good. رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ There are some people who read the Qur'an while the Qur'an is cursing them. Why would that be? Why would the Qur'an ever curse you? Well, if you are going to whip through the words of the Qur'an in an insulting way, then you are not getting a reward, you are getting a sin. I am speaking to you this evening. I am trying my best to speak as clearly as possible, to use language you can understand. I'm trying to open my mouth without chewing the words because I have a message. I want it to come from my heart and enter your heart, subhanallah. If that were to happen, I need to speak clearly, sincerely, and I need to understand that I am just a mere tool to deliver the message that I need, perhaps more than you need. May Allah grant us all forgiveness, beginning with me. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, if I were to speak so fast, you would not sit here today. I promise you, after 5 minutes, some would walk away. Another 5 minutes, some would walk away. And some people who don't have patience, after the first minute, they will say, what is this man saying? You know, in Urdu, they call it bakwas, right? What is this rubbish? For that reason, we will never ever recite the word of Allah in an insulting way. People will run away. But there is a problem. some of the men guilty of doing what? Looking for the masjid where the Taraweeh finishes quick. Right? Fast. This one 8:45, that one 8:44. This one 8:43, can you believe it? 2 minutes less than the other one. My brother, my sister, 2 minutes more with Allah is an honor. It is a pleasure. It might just be your last Taraweeh ever. Who knows who may die or who may not. May Allah give us all a good, long, healthy, wealthy life. Woo! I knew that Ameen was coming loud. I knew it. I really knew it. MashaAllah. But it's not bad. The Ameen is genuine, you know, with all of us. Ameen. May Allah grant it to us. But we want a good life. We want that in the obedience of Allah. The more you live, the more you should increase your chances of entering Jannatul Firdaus, paradise that Allah has kept. So, we've already recited the verse where Allah says, I want to test you. Who from amongst you has better deeds, right? He never ever said more deeds. So, if you want to read the Quran in the month of the Quran, yes, it is your duty. You should. How much you should read? There is no hadith that says you must complete, etc., etc. But it does say you do as best as you can. Every letter you read of the Quran, you receive 10 rewards. The hadith says, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. The hadith says that, you know, you get a reward for every letter you read. And alif lam mim is not a letter, but alif is a letter, lam is a letter, mim is a letter. Pronounce every letter clearly. Make sure it comes out in the best possible way. It is the month of excellence. When you do something, do it beautifully or don't do it. I'd rather not receive an insult and not do something. Subhanallah. I don't want to receive the insult than to receive an insult and telling people, I finished 10 khatams in Ramadan. You know what is a khatam? For those who don't understand, it is a completion of the recitation. So when someone says, I finished 10 khatmas, we're not in competition. Why are you telling me? It was between you and Allah. Whether you did one or not, it's between you and Allah. The hadith says, there is a greater reward for the one who is struggling reading the Quran. Because they are weak, perhaps they are slow, perhaps they might be new to the Arabic language, and they are very, very slow. For them, it's between them and Allah. Allah will reward them. They have a double reward. One reward for trying hard, and the other is for actually the recital. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Don't lose hope. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we feel weak when we hear that this person finished one khatam, one completion, two completions, five completions, and we feel weak. We feel weak, we feel sad. No, you try your best. Don't feel sad. Allah knows you. He knows your capacity. He knows your understanding. He knows the times you have and don't have. Not all of us have free time. Some of us are working really hard. And some of us, subhanallah, we are the breadwinners, and at the same time we come home and we cook for the family. And you know what some people do? Some of the men, may Allah forgive us all. They tell their wives, you know, you better cook nice food because cooking is a big ibadah. MashaAllah. It's a big act of worship. I tell them, you know, if you are in the kitchen for more than half an hour, it's no longer an act of worship. It's now a waste of time. A lot of the women complain of decoration. People like their food to be decorated. It's okay. But in Ramadan, let's not waste time decorating things so much that the Quran is gone, the Salah is gone. You know, you're waiting for your cake in the oven and your time for Asr is going and you're saying, look, if I go for Asr, my cake is going to go. And if I go for the cake, my Asr is going to go. Trust me, turn off that stove and go for Asr, because in Jannah, you will have a million cakes. May Allah grant us goodness. You could have timed it a little bit better, my brothers, my sisters. I'm still waiting for the day when the brothers say, well, today I cooked, mashallah. The iftar will be of a double reward. Number one, cooked by the hands of a man. And by the way, some of the best chefs in this world are men. Have you noticed that? Look at them. They are saying, yes, but do you cook? The answer is no. So what's the point of nodding your head so much? May Allah grant us happiness. My brothers and sisters, it's not about who cooks. It's about being happy. It's about understanding. It's about helping each other. It's about being there for each other. That's what it's all about. So I spoke here about the quality of recital. I want to speak about the quality of your salah as well. Your prayer, you need to take your time in it a little bit more. In Ramadan, take a little bit more time. You know, when you go to sujood, there are so many things and adhkar that you can actually say. One of them is Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. You are praising Allah while you are in the lowest position. You are praising Allah who is the highest. Right? You are the lowest, or I am the lowest, and I'm saying, oh Allah, you are the highest, right? I'm praising Him. That position of sujood and prostration, take a little bit more time in that. Why? It is the month of excellence. It will help you outside the month to perfect your prayer a little bit more. Don't rush. Don't make haste. The other day I spoke about a video that was doing its rounds on social media, where they were showing some people in Far East Asia, with all my love for those people in Far East Asia, there was a video showing that there was an imam pecking down in prayer. I think some of you might have seen that video. So fast that even the Dubai Metro couldn't keep up. Subhanallah, it was quick. It was really fast. They were just going, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And guess what? I was so sad. And I spoke about it in one of my Ramadan boosts that I delivered in South Africa a few days ago. And the next day, someone sent me a beautiful message telling me that was actually video shopped. It was not true. And I thanked Allah. I cannot believe that a Muslim can actually rush to that particular level. It won't happen. So I'm glad to hear it was photoshopped from one angle, and that is that it was a lie. But sad to hear that it was photoshopped from the angle of the people who photoshopped it, because then they are giving those who are following time instead of quality an idea to say, ooh, we must make a journey all the way to Indonesia so we can see what it feels like with this fast Taraweeh. You know, some people are Taraweeh tourists. You know what that means? I think the men know what it means. They do tourism. What is the tourism? One masjid to another, to a third, to a fourth, to a fifth, just to check. Then they stop at one. Why? Ah, this one, fine. You know, right? May Allah forgive us. You should go and read where the salah is beautiful. Take your time. Enjoy your prayer. And remember, how many ever units you complete, do it with love. Do it with your heart. Do how much you can by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah says, develop your relationship with Allah as much as you can. You can, according to your capacity. Have taqwa, or develop your taqwa. Develop your consciousness of Allah. Develop the fear of Allah that is stemming from the love of Allah as much as you can. What did I just say? Develop the fear of Allah stemming from the love of Allah. Let me explain that. Moments ago, I was speaking at a function where we had heads of all religious denominations that are here in this beautiful city, alhamdulillah, and many of the diplomats also here. And I made mention of the term taqwa. And I said, some people translate taqwa as the fear of Allah. I'm sure you've heard that. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. We've heard that, right? Why do they say fear Allah? It is actually something deeper than just the word fear. Fear is different, slightly different when it's said in the English language on its own. But I want to explain to you. It is a fear that stems from love. When you love someone so much, there is a little fear to hurt their feelings, right? There is a fear to make them upset. It's actually out of extreme love that fear comes. Subhanallah. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how we should love Allah and fear Allah. So we are fearing the punishment of Allah. We are fearing to anger Allah or to upset Allah. When you love someone, you really look at them, you want them to be happy. When you say a word, you quickly go to them and say, no, no, I didn't mean it that way. I actually meant it this way. You clarify. Why do you clarify? Because you don't want to create a misunderstanding to say, I don't want a problem here. I really love you so much. I don't want you to misunderstand what happened. May Allah grant us ease. So it's a type of fear that stems from love. It's different from being scared. When you're scared of a lion, it's totally different. That's not out of love. Come on, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love of His and the true connection, such that we are always conscious of not displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we have a beautiful prayer in Salat al-Taraweeh, Salat al-Isha, Salat al-Fajr, take your time, get up for the prayer, give it a little bit more importance, and then you will achieve what you are meant to be achieving from this beautiful month of Ramadan. Indeed, it is a blessed month. It brings about compassion. The main aim of Ramadan is not only that compassion, it is actually the development of relationship with Allah through the revelation of the Quran in this month of Ramadan. So I spoke about reciting the Quran. Please make an effort to attend lessons and lectures perhaps, or just to listen to them online from a reliable source to expand your understanding of revelation, because it is the month of revelation. Set aside a time according to your liking and your convenience. Set aside a time where you can listen to some words that will explain to you revelation, because it is your duty to build your relationship with Allah. Every year during Ramadan, I deliver a series. Before, I used to spend my time in one masjid and deliver a series. And we've delivered so many series. When I started, I was much younger, and I used to speak for 1 hour, 1 hour, 10 minutes. And mashallah, people used to sit. And every day, and for 27, 29 nights, depending. And subhanallah, after that, it became 50 minutes, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 25 minutes. And this year, guess how long the series is? Does anyone know? 12 minutes. That means you guys are following, mashallah. The Contentment from Revelation series this year was recorded in a studio, and it is being released on a daily basis. Today we released episode number 12, mashallah. If you search my own channel or a lot of other channels, because it is not copyrighted, so it's being beamed across more than 200 different radio, television, YouTube, internet, Facebook channels across the globe. But I tell you, it's only 12 minutes. People say, why only 12 minutes? When I was recording it, they were telling me, extend it a little bit. I said, no, 12 minutes. If you cannot get your message in 12 minutes, you have a problem. Because people, as time is passing, do not have time to waste anymore. They rather go and watch football sometimes. And I need to acknowledge that. They rather go and watch football. Do you know, the 27th night of Ramadan, there was supposed to be one of the biggest matches in Europe. Am I right? Are you guys following? What is the match? Who versus who? Yes. MashaAllah. I wish we knew the Quran as well as we knew the football. But it's yes. So what do I have to do? I have to take into consideration the fact that there is football. And mashallah, there are Muslims playing as well. Mashallah, right? Subhanallah. But what should I do? If you take a look at it, Allah blessed us. What did He do? He made it such that the moon was sighted a day earlier. So it no longer coincides with the 27th, but rather the 28th. So the 27th, we will still be there. MashaAllah, we will still be there. But what about those countries who are, you know, fasting on that 27th? You have a choice. Football or the masjid. When I asked the young boys last week about it, they told me, we will go to the masjid and make dua for our team. SubhanAllah. I said, wow, I don't mind. That's okay, that's fine, really. It's still the right decision to make. And it's not wrong to want to know what happened, to go and check a little bit what happened, to watch what happened, for as long as you're not compromising your relationship with Allah, because one is much more important than the other, even though we as human beings have given importance to the other. But it shouldn't be right on that level. It's by the way. You can even hear the scores. It's fine, right? So my brothers and sisters, the point I'm raising is we've cut it down to some very short 12 minutes. And if you take a look at your phone, when someone sends you a forward and it happens to have a video in it, the first thing you do, well, the first thing I do is I check how long the clip is and how big the size of the clip is. So before you even think of opening it, in fact, I can change it. I look at who sent it, number one. If it's your wife, then even if it's 20 megs, you must click download. You know, maybe something has happened there, you know. So first point, you look at who sent it. Is it a VIP, VVIP? You might want to click download, even if it's big. But if it's ordinary people who've been sending you messages, you look more than 16 megs, you say, it's okay. And when they don't write what is in that clip, you get irritated. It's like you need to go and teach them etiquettes, not only of reading Quran and Salah, but of how to send a message so that you don't waste my time. You send a video clip, please. You will be saving people's ibadah time if you write underneath it the clip above is, and then you write what it's all about. Because we might have seen it. I sometimes receive the same clip from 50 people. And I already downloaded it once, and I think to myself, if they told me what was in the clip, I could have just laughed at the mere thought without having to re-download and say, oh no, I downloaded the same thing again. And then you look at how long it is, and then when you've downloaded it, in the first few seconds, you check whether it appeals to you or not. I think let's not throw the water, Habibi. The first few seconds you actually think to yourself whether or not you're going to watch it. In the first 3 seconds, I already know I'm not going to listen to this, delete, because they haven't got to their point. So we, when we're speaking, the excellence today of speech is from the opening of your words, you get straight to the point. Go to the contentment series I've delivered. I just say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brothers and sisters, and I'm in the speech. Right? Within the first few seconds we're in. Before, I used to say, Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. And then I translated into the English language. By that time, 1.5, 2 minutes are up. And guess what? I was told in some countries that 1, 2 minutes that is up, yes, it is absolutely important, but it costs them data, money. Data is not free across the globe. And so if you are adding 20 million people who lost data worth 2 minutes each, that is 40 million minutes of data that you have wasted across the ummah, that money could have been used in a better way. SubhanAllah. That is excellence, productivity. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words ring not only through your ears, but go through your heart. Allah says, we've prescribed a beautiful fast. When we were small, young, we used to think fasting is about staying away from food and drink. As you grow older, you realize more important than staying away from food and drink is to develop yourself, your character, your conduct. Cut out that which displeases Allah. Become a better person. Don't just judge people based on external matters or certain things, one or two matters. No. Don't be judgmental, rather be helpful. When you see someone do something wrong, rather than going and swearing them and shouting them, try and make it right by helping them. That is a true person who fasts. You are true to your fasting because you are calm. Anger is something that comes to everyone. Anger is something that comes to everyone. But each person's fuse has a different gauge. Some 10 amps, gone. Some 13 amps, gone. Some 30 amps and they're still not gone. Some 60 amps and they're still not gone. Some people for small things, they get angry. Some people, subhanAllah, you can try and try and try again and they're still smiling and they're still okay and they're still, yeah, they pretend like they don't know what happened, but they know. And they continue because they know I don't want to drop myself. Anger is something bad. If you can suppress your anger for Allah, you deserve a VIP status on the Day of Judgment. Do you know that? Suppress your anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ المحسنين. Those who suppress their anger, those who forgive people as difficult as it is, Allah says He loves those who do good. When I forgive, I'm not forgiving because I think they deserve my forgiveness. I'm forgiving because Allah loves those who forgive. Subhanallah. Did you hear that? If you and I were to forgive people only because we thought they were deserving of forgiveness, we probably would not forgive anyone. And maybe, perhaps, we wouldn't achieve forgiveness either. But if we forgive because Allah loves those who forgive, I am no longer involving that party in this equation. It is between me and Allah. It's a very high level. Allah says, I love those. When Allah says, I love some people, remember, it's not easy to be of those qualities. It's going to need a lot of patience, tolerance, calmness. Me? Forgive you? How? You are harming me. You are this. You are... Subhanallah, let it go. Release. Khalas, gone. Out. I see some of the brothers are just looking at me like, are you sure? Are you serious? Even if it's your mother-in-law, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and forgiveness. Don't worry. A lot of mothers-in-law are actually brilliant people, loving people, kind people. They reach out. But because of the one or two who spoil it for the rest of us, subhanallah, we're known as bad in-laws. By the way, I'm a father-in-law as well. MashaAllah. You're looking at me surprised, right? It's true, I'm not lying to you. But my brothers and sisters, the goodness of the heart is such that no matter who it is, people are good. There is sometimes misunderstandings that happen, things that happen. I want today to address it from the other side. If you are making someone else's life difficult, be careful. Be careful. Stop making the lives of others difficult. Stop gossiping. Stop being jealous of people. Stop being a person who has harsh words for others and they expect good words for themselves. The Almighty is watchful. He watches. He sees. He will definitely recompense. He knows. So my brothers and sisters, remember, the excellence belongs to the month, because excellence primarily belongs to Allah, and He has given us this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want your prayer if you're going to rush through it. Allah does not want your recitation if you're going to rush through it. And this is why I always say, you know, there is a narration that speaks about the one who has the Quran in his heart. Generally, the translation of it is the hafidh. Hafidh meaning the one who's memorized. But I like to take it further. Some scholars say anyone who has memorized any portion of the Quran, any portion, even if it's just Surah Al-Fatiha or Surah Al-Baqarah, well, that's a long one, Surah Al-Fil or Surah, which other Surah? An-Nas, Al-Kawthar. If you have memorized even a small portion of the Quran in Arabic, please put up your hand high. MashaAllah, put your hands down. That's almost everyone. I'm so happy. That was just, I just wanted you to bear witness. That's it. And I wanted the angels to look at what we're doing. And I want Allah to see what's happening. And He has seen it. And the angels have also seen it. SubhanAllah. So why do I say this? Because we are known as Sahibul Quran. All of us, we have some Quran in our heart, right? Every one of us has some Quran in our heart. Thank Allah, you are a VIP. Now when you read those words, read them nicely. Try to read it melodiously. I know some of the old people, when you tell them, can you read some Quran? They'll say, yes. You say, read it. Even some of the young and some of the sisters and whoever else. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. I agree that those are words of the Quran. Why don't you try a little melody? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Try that for the sake of Allah. You know what will happen? You have a contentment in your heart that you will never have tasted before. Never. So the brothers and sisters, look, I did it here in front of you. Why? Just to show you, there's a melody of the Quran. Read it in your own beautiful way. Try it out. Next time you're reading, just have a melody quietly. I know your family members might come and look at you from the door. What's going on? So what? It's for Allah. Subhanallah. It's your first time. You will start a new trend in the whole house. When they read the Quran, they will do it with excellence rather than just reading it. Recite it. Intonate it.
وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا.
Allah says, intonate the recitation of this Quran with beautiful intonation. Give it the tune, a nice tune. Don't worry. Don't be embarrassed. It's the word of Allah. Now, do you know why I say that? Going back to this hadith of the Quran, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأها. It will be said to a person who's holding the Quran. Like I told you, the majority say it's got to do with the whole hafiz. But because there are some who say no, it's got to do with anyone who holds any portion of the Quran. And I incline towards the second meaning because at least it will include all of us. It will be said, read and ascend. Recite the Quran. And as you are reading, you will automatically go up in the levels of heaven. So as you are reading, you start floating, going up, in Jannah. And the hadith says, read in the same way you used to read in the world. كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Read exactly how you used to read in the world. For me, that's a warning. Telling me, watch out how you're reading in the world, because on the day of judgment, you won't be able to read in any other way. So take your time. When you're reading now in this world, tell yourself, well, let me read how I'm going to read in the hereafter. And then you can make this melodious tune with beautiful recital. And then on the day of judgment, you will be a VIP. You understand what I'm saying? Take your time. When you're reading, read beautifully and tell yourself, I'm reading nicely so that when I get the opportunity on the day of judgment, I'm going to be reading in a beautiful way and I'm going to be going higher and higher by the will of Allah. So the hadith says, your final abode will be the last verse that you know. Which is the last verse you know? It is connected to whether or not you practiced upon the Quran. Did you practice upon it? When the Quran told you to establish your salah, did you do it? When the Quran spoke about giving charity, did you do it? When the Quran spoke about all the do's and the don'ts, did you take heed? If you did, good news to you. Do as best as you can. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Let's move on to another very interesting factor. We spoke about the fast. We spoke about the prayer, the recitation of the Quran. Still, we need to speak about something to do with Ramadan. The compassion. Ramadan is a month of giving as well. Where do we get this from? كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most generous of all people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. And the most generosity from him came during the month of Ramadan. حين يلقاه جبريل. When Jibreel عليه السلام used to come to him and they used to recite the Quran. He was so generous. The hadith says, كالريح المرسلة. This evening, mashallah, we have beautiful weather. It's neither the summer heat nor is it the winter cold. Do you agree? Mashallah. It's just in between. So we thank Allah. When the wind blows, every single one of us feels it. But it was one wind. The Prophet ﷺ's generosity was like the wind. Everyone felt it. But it was just his generosity. Subhanallah. Be generous. It's the month of giving. What do you start off by giving? Your good character. You give. Your good character is a charity. Do you know that? When you smile at someone, it's a charity. When you're helpful to someone, it's a charity. When you greet someone and respond the greeting, it is a charity and an act of worship. When you make someone feel good, it's an act of worship. It's a charity. When you instill happiness in the heart of another, it is an act of charity. It is an act of worship. So be charitable with your character before being charitable with your wealth. There is no point in giving people tens of thousands of dirhams when your attitude stinks. No one wants that money. Do they want it? Sometimes out of desperation they might take it. But you've got to watch your attitude. But even if you did not give a beggar money, but you respectfully looked at him and greeted him perhaps and acknowledged him or her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's injunction is fulfilled.
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ
Surah Al-Duha, Allah says, as for the beggar, don't rebuke him or her. If you don't want to give, it's okay. But don't rebuke. Don't spit. Don't insult. You don't know what need has made them beg from you. Subhanallah. And you could be in their shoes if Allah willed. May Allah not let that happen. But Allah says that because there is a question that people ask, right? Which came first, the egg or the chicken? Which one was first, the egg or the chicken? Who can tell me? In Islam, we have a clear answer for that. Was it the egg or the chicken? Which one was it? The chicken. Clear. Very clear. Then the egg came after that. Just like man. Man was created and then we reproduced. Right? The chicken was created, then it was reproduced. Right. So I want to tell you, who is more important, the rich or the poor? Tricky question, right? The rich or the poor? Subhanallah. The rich might say, we are more important because we have the wealth. The poor might say, well, we are more important because without us, you would not be able to engage in a pillar of Islam known as giving charity. If all of us were rich, who was there to take zakah? This is why when you are giving charity, consider it an honor of Allah that you are able to give. That person you are giving is so important. Allah kept them as a means for you to fulfill such a great act of worship known as zakah. You're supposed to respect them. If Allah didn't keep them there or didn't make them ask you, you would not have been able to fulfill that zakah of yours. So be careful. It's like how I tell the brothers and the sisters, whenever you use a facility for your prayer, be it a prayer room, be it a masjid, pray for those who put it up and those who are financing it. Why? You might be a rich man. You entered the masjid free. You use the carpet, the electricity, the air conditioning, the water, the towels, everything else. You went in, you went out. There are guards there, imams there. The cost of running that place could easily be a few thousand US dollars a month. You paid nothing. Someone else paid for you to read salah at the masjid. Do you know that? Have you ever thought of it? That's why I say, whenever you go into the masjid, maybe in this country you're fortunate. Perhaps there may be people or the Islamic Affairs Department, etc., that takes care of the masjids and so on. But if there is the capacity to donate, please give your money to the house of Allah in your countries, wherever you come from. And we are diverse nationalities. Perhaps this evening seated here, we could be having more than 100 nationalities. This evening seated here. Wherever you go, back in your countries, when you see a donation box for the masjid where you are fulfilling salah, if you were to give them $1 for every salah that you prayed in the masjid, that masjid would never need money from anyone else again. Just from those who pray there. $1. Is $1 too much for one salah? The rich businessmen will say, yeah, that's too much. The poor will give quickly. You know, it happens sometimes. Sometimes. I hope not in our crowd, right? I have to say that. But sometimes the wealthier we get, the more we become stingy in bargaining. You know, we bargain for 5 cents, we'll make a big deal. But you're so wealthy. The poor man walked in and he just paid those 5 cents. But the rich man says, no, 5 cents less. Why? Give him also a little bit of money. Give him, tell him, you want $5, I'll give you 10. No problem, take it and go. May Allah grant us goodness of the heart. So if we are to spend our money in a good cause, it will make our life easy in the hereafter. Because you know what? When Allah takes account of your money, He's going to ask you, where did you get it and where did you spend it? Imagine, every little while I spent on your house. You know when you see your bank statement, you see where you spent. So you're ticking, looking at all. Every little while, house of Allah, house of Allah, house of Allah, house of Allah. How do you think it will be? Subhanallah, when you come on the day of judgment and Allah sees, whoa, subhanallah, look at your record. Allah already knows it from now. The only thing I'm saying is, be careful. At least pray for the people who are doing such a good job to facilitate for you and I so many things we take for granted. Subhanallah. This evening we are seated here. I'm sure it cost money. Someone, somehow, somewhere has coughed it up, right? Whoever did so, may Allah reward you, bless you, grant you goodness and ease. And every single one of you, you've spent money to come here. It costed money. It costed either a cab or whatever else. Some of you came very early. Some of you, subhanallah, you made space for others. You might have had a very nice place in the front, and then here comes an elderly man. So it's your test, or an elderly woman. Am I going to get up from my seat, or am I just going to sit here? If you get up from your seat and go to an uncomfortable place because the person who came in is elderly, or perhaps they might be more deserving of the seat, you get a good reward, right? May Allah help us to think this way. Ramadan must make you think this way. Think of others. Yes, yourself as well, your family as well. But remember to reach out. And when you reach out to those in need, with respect, tomorrow you could have that need. And can I tell you something? In fact, to correct myself, every one of us is in need. A different type of need. We're all in need. Some are in need of money because they are poor. Some, they have a job, but the job doesn't meet exactly the amount of money they need to survive for the month. So please downgrade your life. But at the same time, I pray to Allah, this eve of Ramadan, may Allah make it easy for all those who have debts to pay those debts. That's a powerful dua. Don't just make dua for yourself. There are people amongst us who are struggling with debts. Some from amongst us are looking for jobs, perhaps. Some from amongst us are perhaps struggling with health matters. Think about them, pray for them without knowing them. Oh Allah, those who are struggling from amongst us with health issues, grant them cure, speedy and complete recovery and good health. Ameen. And even those who are not from amongst us, who might be far off, some of us are here. We have a good job, we have a good salary, we have a decent life, but perhaps somewhere further away, our parents have bad health, or some of our family members are struggling, or someone else is suffering. This is the month of excellence. Excellence dictates that you don't only think about yourself, but rather you excel beyond that and think about the holistic picture. Every single person, firstly, within your home, within your family, within your community, within your nation, and then across the globe. May Allah make us such that we can actually reach out to everyone. So excellence in giving is when you thank Allah for using you to give to a good cause. That's excellence. Don't just think, I'm a good man, I gave. I gave here, I gave there, I gave everywhere. Everyone can give. Giving is easy. How was the condition of your heart when you gave? Did you give with humility, with humbleness, or did you make the person feel, I gave? Some people will give you 100 dirhams when you are low, at your low. After 20 years when you are running a big business, they say, you know, if it wasn't for my 100, you wouldn't even have started a business. You know that? They will keep reminding you and reminding you. Allah knows that this will happen amongst men.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى.
O you who believe, do not destroy the reward of your charities by bragging about what you did, or by harming people. It doesn't mean because you gave, so now you deserve some preferential treatment. No! Did you give for Allah? Well, Allah will give you preferential treatment in the hereafter. As for this world, we are all equal. Myself and yourselves. I probably need the words of advice I'm giving you for myself more than for you. A lot of you seated here, if not all of you, you may be better than me in the eyes of Allah. Who knows? But we are trying. I'm trying. May Allah accept all of us. If we get Jannah and paradise, that's it. We have succeeded. As for this world, we keep on trying. You are all beloved unto Allah. Every one of you. You have been created by Allah. Allah loves you. There might be a certain weakness within you. Allah blesses you with the month of Ramadan. Think about your weakness. Think about where it is going to get you. Think about how far you're going to go if you pursue this weakness of yours. And then think about what will happen if you work on it, eradicate it, help yourself to come out of it for the pleasure of Allah, and you lead your life in an obedient, beautiful way. And Allah gives you a month of pondering and reflection. It is so beautiful. If you think of Ramadan, you know how Allah has kept Ramadan? It starts off on a high. First night, everyone is excited. Ramadan has begun. Second night, the excitement is a little bit less. I'm right, okay? I know what I'm talking about. You can just check it from the masjids around. Look at the attendance. First night, big attendance. Second night, dwindles a little bit. Third night, it dwindles a little bit more. Am I right? Fourth night, if it's a weekend, it starts climbing a little bit more, right? And the minute the weekend is gone, it drops again, drops again. I'm not saying people are not engaged in worship. I'm just trying to show you enthusiasm. Guess what Allah does? Now you have a night like this. We have 12, 13. We're getting into almost the center of Ramadan. And you know what? There is a build up. We're getting to the peak. Instead of reaching 15 and coming downhill, in Ramadan, we go to 15 and we go up further. You notice? When you get to 20, 21, imagine, just to show you the love of Allah, if Laylatul Qadr was the first 10 nights, one of the odd nights from the first 10 nights of Ramadan, what would happen to Ramadan? Did you think of that? Look at Allah's love, His mercy. He says, last 10. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept the value such that the first 10 were of the most value, we wouldn't have given value to the rest. But Allah says, no, Laylatul Qadr is one of the last nights. Why didn't He give us the date? Tell us, 27 night Laylatul Qadr, you're done and you're over. You know what? Man is so weak, we would stay away 26 nights, 27, the whole ummah is in the masjid. And 28th, we're back again doing what we were, if we knew the date. So it is a gift of Allah to say, look, search for it. Search for it. Is it possible for Laylatul Qadr to be different nights here and another part of the globe? The answer is yes, definitely, without a doubt. It is. The time of tahajjud is different everywhere in the world. But it is still the last third of the night at all the times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still descends and asks the questions. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness? I can forgive. Anyone repenting, I can accept. Anyone asking, I can give. Every moment of the 24 hours, somewhere across the globe, there is the time of tahajjud. But it's different from ours. You understand how Allah works? It doesn't mean that the same moment the whole world has to have that auspiciousness. No. The same applies to Laylatul Qadr. The same applies to Jumu'ah, the hour of the Jumu'ah. The same applies to the times of Salah. The same applies to sunrise and sunset. All of it. It's Allah's unique plan. Don't fight over it and say, well, if Laylatul Qadr here is tonight, then what about those people who have 26th tonight? We are having 27th. It's happening, right? Don't worry. Leave it to Allah. Allah knows what He's doing. Perhaps theirs will be the next night. There's nothing wrong. Your timing, their timing is not necessarily the same. Gone are the days when we used to think everything has to happen in sync. It never does. And it never did. It never did. So we ask Allah to grant us acceptance. The beauty of the month is such, you go out and search for it. Search for Ramadan. That's why before, many of the masajid used to complete the recitation of the Quran on the 27th night. So what happens? 28, 29, the masjid is empty. Nowadays, a lot of the masajid, no. They want to complete on the 29th night so that they make sure you and I are in the masjid. Wow, subhanallah. But excellence requires that you don't just go for salah to the masjid in Ramadan, but you build a relationship with the masjid. Meet the imam, meet the muadzin, meet a few of the cleaners, see a few of the people. Put a donation or two. Make it your home. Make it your house. You've developed a relationship with it. Now you know. You have a circle of people you're learning with in Ramadan. Develop a relationship with them. Keep it going after Ramadan. And don't push people in a way that you chase them away. You want to bring them so desperately that you're chasing them away. You go to sisters in a sister's circle. And sometimes, mashallah, it's so loving. It's so kind. Keep the content such that they want to come back. But don't tell them, sister, you have to come back. And then you phone them, sister, where are you? You're not yet back. You know, we're all waiting for you. The sister says, hey, gosh, switch off your phone. Block that number. They keep phoning me, irritating me. That's what might happen. So don't push someone too much that you're actually chasing them away. But develop such a loving relation that they miss you. They want to come back to you. They want to hear you. You make them feel good. You listen to what they have to say and you don't judge them. You try and help them. My brothers and sisters, all of us are struggling. Don't lie to yourself that you're not struggling. We're all struggling, but our struggles are of different levels. We're all struggling. So don't look down at someone who's struggling different from you just because Allah has tested them with something else. We all want to be closer to Allah. We look at someone's sin that is apparent perhaps and we think we become sinless for a moment by being given the permission, a'udhu billah, to speak about them. Not realizing when you speak negative about them, you've actually taken that sin on you. Why do that? It's a month of excellence. Build yourself. Develop yourself and build relations. You build a relation with Allah, automatically you will build a relation with the house of Allah. With the people who remind you of Allah. The people who are helpful to you. They make you feel good about yourself. The world has too many problems, too many things that are happening, too much negativity. We cannot go about preaching negativity. It has to be positive. We need this positivity desperately. Give people hope. Because they are already living in fear. Do you understand? It's not easy to be a Muslim. It's not easy to be a person who's upright. So give people hope. Tell them, don't worry, things will be fine. Keep going, you're okay. Allah loves you, let's go, let's keep on going. Seek forgiveness. That's how you talk to people. You don't doom them. And you don't tell them, my brothers, my sisters, you are going to hell. How do you know, by the way? Were you there? Allah grant us ease. A lot of people struggling. I saw a brother smoking. And I saw another brother. I saw him and I was about to go and greet him. And another brother, Sheikh, smoking is haram. You're not supposed to. Look, I know, but look at how you're yelling at this guy. I was quiet. I'm just watching. And I told myself, I could have done the same thing in a way that this brother would feel guilty to smoke again in his life. But look at this champion coming across and saying, haram to smoke, how could you smoke, astaghfirullah, you and blah, blah, blah. And the guy started yelling and so on. Anyway, this brother threw his cigarette away, but he started arguing. He said, you have no way of speaking. There was an argument between two people. Now I'm thinking to myself, should I get involved? Shouldn't I get involved? I said, no, it's my duty to get involved. I said, assalamu alaikum, how are you brothers, guys okay? Now both of them is yelling at each other, looking at me. Subhanallah, looking at me. I said, are you guys fine? You guys okay, everything good? Now, the guy who was smoking is thinking that here is a bearded guy. He is supposed to be telling me about the cigarettes, but he's looking at me and smiling. Are you guys okay? Everything fine? You know? And I saw what's happening. And the other guy, subhanallah, he was yelling at him, maybe from a health perspective, maybe he didn't like it, maybe from a religious perspective. But if you looked at him outwardly, you wouldn't have expected him to have yelled in that way about cigarettes. And I said, you guys fine? You guys okay? Hope everything is well. So this guy says, look at him. He is shouting at me about smoking. I said, oh, no, no, no. You know, the reason why he's probably telling you, maybe he's passionate. And I started laughing, smiling, patting this guy on the back, saying, no, no, he means well. But maybe the way he said it. I said, brother, you were meaning well, weren't you? He says, yeah, but look. I said, no. You're meaning well. Don't worry. You just got to remind him, you know. Like, you love smoking? He says, I love it. Hooked. I love it. Now we're taking it out. From him, right? He's telling me, I love smoking. I love it. I'm addicted to it. If I don't smoke, I get angry. I said, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. Would you love to have cigarettes in Jannah? Now he's thinking. When you love something, you want it in paradise, right? Yeah, you want your stuff in paradise. Allah says, hang on, you know what? In paradise, you get far better than whatever was on earth. But let's not get to that topic. We'll talk about it another time, inshallah. But this guy's now thinking, he says, he's looking at his cigarettes. The question was clear. Would you love to have these cigarettes that you love so much in Jannah? He's thinking, he says, yeah. Now I'm telling him, my brother, there's going to be one major problem. In order to light the cigarette, you need a fire. In Jannah, there's no fire. What will have to happen? You have to go somewhere else to get the fire. Right? You understand what we're saying? Now, how are you going to light that fire? It's not possible. So the best thing for you to do from now, you can start thinking to yourself, I don't like this habit, you know, I'm going to be, because I can't have it in Jannah anyway, and I can't even light it. It's fire. It's not good, you know, it harms and so on. Anyway, I made a big joke out of it. But I gave him food for thought and I went into the masjid and we were gone. I didn't see that brother again, but I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the impact that it must have had on him was different from the guy yelling and screaming, because that's not how you change people. You make them think. They know. A lot of smokers, and I'm sure there are some from amongst us, maybe two or three, right? A lot of the smokers, they don't want to smoke sometimes. They really don't. They want to give it up. They really do. You know, I feel sorry on the family members of smokers. If their curses could be heard aloud, there would be divorces in homes. Did you hear what I just said? They don't like it. Family members, your children, your spouses, your parents, your brothers, whoever else it is, you're smoking, the smell of it. I, for one, cannot stand it, but we're standing it because, you know what? It's a human being. When I say cannot stand it, I mean, imagine you're going in salah, you're smelling of oud, mashallah, and a beautiful perfume, and you enter the masjid and you're about to finish the first rak'ah of the first unit of Taraweeh, and you're just enjoying the recital, and suddenly something's happened. The guy just came next to you and he's smelling of cigarettes. Because you know what? I was asked a question. This is a very good one. It's a real true question. Someone asked me a few years ago, you won't believe it, am I allowed to open my fast with the adhan of Maghrib with a cigarette? Imagine. I'm not lying to you. I was asked that question. So then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just imagine, that's how he wants to open his fast. I mean, I can't believe this. But that's how passionate they are to say Bismillah. I told him, brother, Zamzam. Imagine, Zamzam is far better. And I hope no one comes up with a brand of cigarettes called Zamzam, because then we have a problem, an even bigger problem. He'd say, yeah, I broke my fast with Zamzam. May Allah forgive us. This is how deep people go. And imagine, they try to do qada. It's like what I say, Ramadan is a month of excellence. Do you know your health will improve? You need to cut down on your food. If you don't want to feel your fast, don't eat too much at suhoor. With us, we think, right, I'm not going to be eating for 13 hours, let me munch. So we get to the table at suhoor and we want to eat everything, one after the other, eating, eating, eating. By 9 o'clock, you're already hungry because the enzymes in your belly are all working so hard, you're hungry. If you eat a little bit, have a banana, have some dates, have a bit of water, have low GI, a little bit of bran, etc., etc., a bit of milk, whatever you'd like, a little bit, and then you're done. You know what? Come 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're as fresh and healthy and strong as ever. You're not even feeling hungry. When it comes to iftar, many of us mistaken qada of salah with qada of food. If you miss a salah, you got to make it up, right? When you miss a meal, you don't make it up in the evening, please. People eat at Maghrib and after Isha as though they have not seen food. That's not what Ramadan is all about. They say, no, but I didn't have lunch. So what? You weren't supposed to have the lunch. Well, now I'm having the lunch and the supper. You know? Subhanallah. Is that what Ramadan is all about? No. Some people gain weight in Ramadan. I can't believe it. But it's happening, wallahi. I've seen it. I said, brother, what's going on here? He said, you know, Ramadan, man. And the rest of us, subhanAllah, you lose weight. Ramadan is not a month of food. I always say, in the month of Ramadan, we're not supposed to be eating, but we have the most food in our fridges, our houses, our kitchens, etc., etc. Let's be careful. My brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful month. We must discipline ourselves and we will earn the pleasure of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bad habits, we can cut them. We can slow them down. You don't want to get into the masjid and be a person who has such a smell that people don't even want to stand next to you. May Allah help us give up our bad habits. I pray that every one of us can go home tonight and ponder over quality rather than quantity. Remember, the quality of deeds that you have would actually please Allah much more than the quantity. So tonight when you go home, have a broad smile, speak to people with love, tell them how much you love them, and repeat it again and again, mashallah. and tell them how much you care for them, and show and help in the house, and make sure that you are not a burden on the people, and Allah will open your doors. This is what Ramadan is all about, development of yourself. If you don't develop yourself, you've wasted your month of Ramadan. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَصَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.